here to adjust this. Hey, I missed all of you. You know, I really miss being at the Rock. For those of you who don't know where I was, I'll tell you. Even if you don't, hey, thanks, Larry, you know. I appreciate that, Larry. I was, let's see, first in Colorado and then in Myrtle Beach in South Carolina. Hey, could you, like, turn the house lights on a little bit and dim these lights just a little bit? Is it possible to do that? Whoever is on the lights, hello? Hey, there you go. You're on them. All right. Yeah, dim them a little bit, would you? Is that possible? It is. All right. I keep forgetting which auditorium we're at. Hey, microphone. Anyway, hey, that's better. Is that better? Works better for me. I can just see Shelly Mokel's face. Shelly, you better pay attention tonight. That's all I can say. Okay? Anyway, 20 days almost away from home. So I missed home. I missed all of you. And then last weekend I was in Kansas and obligatory family event, a wedding. It wasn't the funnest thing I've ever done in my life, but you know, you have to do those things when you get married. There's things you just have to do for your partner, even though you get food poisoning like I did. I told her I shouldn't have been there. I knew it was a bad omen. I said, yeah, I shouldn't have come here. You know, you spend $550 on a trip, you go down, you get sick, you come home. Welcome to marriage. Welcome to marriage. Actually, it's wonderful being married. Sometime I do a series on the 250,000 reasons why I love being married. But look for my book, okay? My book's going to come out first so I can list all those things. Tonight, what I want to do is talk about the 27,000 reasons why I love being a Christian. Now, I hope to get through half that tonight, okay? And you'll have to come back the weeks following for the rest of the thousands of reasons. No, actually, seriously, I was thinking, you know, Lord, it'd probably be a good idea to tell these people why I like being a Christian so much. Because I get to be around all these cool people who always keep the microphones out of my way. And it's just, you know, I'm teasing. It's good to have Chad. Chad, it was nice to have you back, buddy, if you're out there somewhere. Tom, he's trying a new look there with the blonde hair. You know, I just saw, you know, these guys, they're always telling me that maybe I look a little old, but don't they realize that Demolition Man, the movie, was about, I don't know, Wesley Snipes did his blonde hair about 8.5 years ago. I don't know, I mean, who's current and who isn't around here, you know what I'm saying? I mean, now, maybe bright red, maybe bright purple, but the Demolition Man is like, you know, yesterday. Last century, wasn't it? Sorry, guys, I just had to tell you that. I don't know. You look cute like that. You really do. You know, gray is really coming in. Gray is the new look for the new millennium. Okay, just so you all know that. If you want to do something very cool, go gray. It takes a real man, a real woman to let it show. Anyway, 27,000 reasons why I love being a Christian. You know, people have often asked me, Mark, why do you like being a Christian? What is Christianity so stuffy? It's got all these rules. It's got all these regulations. It puts you in a box. You don't get to have any fun. And fortunately, we know the truth, don't we? Those of us here today that have been a Christian for a while know that all the things people think, the stereotypical things they think, just aren't true. But because people never get to hear those things, I thought I'd give you tonight. I'm going to try to get through these tonight. I got 13, actually. The other 20-some-odd thousand I left for another time. But I'm going to see if I can get through these 13. You're all going to go, never. He'll never get through it. He'll never. So you can take a few wagers on the site if you want. See if I get through these 13 this evening. Okay? Reason number one. Well, first what we have to do is open up my Bible, because you can't see yours. And so I'm going to read to you from Romans chapter 8, which is actually one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. And it kind of puts all this stuff, this package that we get when we come to know Christ, it kind of puts it all together here for you. It starts out in verse 28, and it says this: "And we know that God causes everything in our life to work together for good, to those of us who love God and are called according to His purpose. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to be like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn with many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him, and he gave them right standing with himself, and he promised them his glory and his kingdom. What can we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who could ever be against us? Since God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, won't God, who gave us Christ, freely give us everything else? Who dare accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? Will God? No. He's the one who's given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? Will Christ? No. For he's the one who died for us and was raised to life for us and is sitting at the place of highest honor next to God, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us when we have trouble or calamity or we're persecuted or we're hungry or cold or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these circumstantial things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't and life can't. The angels can't. The demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries for tomorrow, and even the powers of hell cannot keep God's love away. Whether we're high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ our Lord. Now, you may read your Bible, you may not. But when you do, you may read these kind of things and wonder, what relevance, what possible relevance do these things have to my life? And I want to talk with you about that a little bit this evening. How much would you give? I want you to think about this for just a moment. If you could in your life consistently go through life with a sense and a feeling of well-being. Most of the people that I know, that I come in contact with, that I talk about day to day, are the people, let's say, that I see in life. The people that I see on television, whether it's in the news, whether it's through interviews, just the everyday folks, do not possess a sense of well-being. They don't go through life with a feeling of real peace and just a real vibrancy in life. They don't. Rather, they go through life with a lot of fears, afraid of violence that might break out against them, afraid of things that might get stolen. They have all kinds of phobias, all kinds of fears. Fears that a storm may knock down their house, fear that someone may scratch their new car, fear that something they got's going to break down. Maybe you got people who are always concerned about their health, wondering, am I going to get some germ? Am I going to get some disease? Every person that I know, most of the time, goes through life with all kinds of worries and fears and anxieties. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew that there's three or four primary things that choke the life of God out of our life. And they're the three or four things that everyone in the world, especially those who are not Christ, do not know Christ, are dealing with every day. And here's what they are. Our anxieties for today, worries and anxieties, our desire for riches, our desire for pleasure, and our desire for all the nice things that life can give us. Those primary four primal desires control people's lives. And that's what their life is all about. They never have quite enough. They've never saved quite enough. Their car is never quite good enough. And it's always something more. Always something more. Christ, he changes the game of life for us. That's what Christ does. And I want to go through some of these things with you. The first reason that I love being a Christian, these are not necessarily in order because all of them have tremendous importance. The first one is that everything in my life ultimately turns out in my favor. Everything works for my good and my best interest. Everything that ever happens to me or is done to me by other people plays right into my hand, and God will make it work in my favor. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. That's very profound if it's true. The Bible tells us that it's true. For a Christian, it's true. I want you to think back of all the mean things that have happened to you, all the nasty things that have happened to you, all the awful things that have been said to you. Might be in your job, it might have been growing up, it might be in a relationship that you were in before or one that you're currently in today. But no matter what has happened in our life, No matter how difficult, God promises to work it for good in our lives. I think about, for me personally, I don't know if you've ever lost a loved one. By losing a loved one, I mean have them walk out of your life. Personally, and if you differ with this particular statement, that's okay. Don't differ with it till you go ponder it. It would be easier, in my opinion, to have my father die than to have my father walk away. It'd be far easier to deal with, because there's closure. There's closure. My dad says, someone asks, where's your dad? He's dead. He's gone. No problem. My dad isn't dead. My dad decided to walk away from all of us. My mom, myself and my five brothers and my sister. My father would not know my children if he passed them on the street today. He wouldn't recognize them. He's seen them all of, I think, three times. Three or four. I never hear from him. I don't know where he is. And you know, to be honest, I'll be the first one to admit that having a stable family is a wonderful gift. It's a wonderful blessing. But are you cursed in life if you don't? Is your whole life ruined if a parent turns on you? Which mine has, as well as my wife's. Some of that's changing now. It's been a lot of years. The fact of the matter is, no. No. Do you grieve? Sure. Do I have to endlessly grieve? Do I have to be dysfunctional the rest of my life? Do I have to go through life as though I've been traumatized and ruined and I'm not quite whole? No. Because just like Joseph, whose brothers sold him into slavery, just like David, whose brothers didn't want him seen, just like Daniel, who was sold into Babylon, God blessed every one of their lives. You know why? Because God overrides all of the negative garbage that has ever happened in our life to the person who decides to believe it. And it's the right of every Christian to believe it. It's the right of every Christian to receive it. But you've got to decide, you know what? That's true for me. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to live in the awareness of that truth. No matter what people do to me, God, no matter what circumstances have happened to me, you are working them for good in my life. Now, one of the biggest good reasons that the Lord brought a variety and allowed a variety of difficulties in my life was to build me. I'm a much better man than I was 25 years ago. Now, God's not done with me, nor is He done with you. But I have the confidence of knowing that God is a good God. He's got this wise master plan. And I just follow along each day knowing that good is coming. And even through this negative and terrible and, let me say, unjust situation. I'll be the first one to tell you that probably the greatest and most difficult thing for me to deal with is injustice. It's very hard. I don't know about you. I don't know what your particular issue might be. But for me, getting screwed is really hard. It's very difficult. Do you know what verse God gave me years ago in my young life? And I have to keep going back to it. It says in Peter, let those who suffer according to the will of God continue to do good and entrust themselves to their faithful Creator. There's times I want to smack people. There's times I want to lash out. There's times, oh, believe me, I have a very prolific tongue. And there are times I want to say things that I think just need to be said. And it's very hard. You know what I love about being a Christian? Is that God could change my whole perspective and make me realize, Mark, this is in my plan. Don't you worry. These people cannot mess with you, really. They're just playing right into my hand for your life. You just keep trusting me, Mark. I'm your deflector shield in life. Keep your shield up. Keep your faith up. Keep believing what my promises say. I am going to work it for good. To me, that's a wonderful thing about being a Christian. Second thing I love about being a Christian is that God is always for me. He's always on my side. Therefore, I never need to be afraid of anyone or anything else. For there's no power greater than God. I can't tell you how much comfort that gives me. How much encouragement I get knowing God's on my side. God's on my side. If you know Christ here tonight, God is on your side. The whole world might stand against you, as they did Martin Luther. God is on your side. He's not on theirs. He's on yours. Now, here's another beautiful thing. Let's say you have a problem with a Christian. God is on the side of righteousness. There's some Christians that are very unrighteous. He's on my side. He's on your side. God is for you. Now, God is for every Christian. I want you to know that. God is for every Christian. He's for them. But what an amazing thing it is. You know what David says in Psalms? And I have found much comfort from this over the years. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will not forsake me. The Lord will not forsake me. I was sharing with a person, this was while I was on my travels. I said, you know what's really interesting about God is that always remember that God is your creator. He's your creator. Now he's your father. He's first. Our first allegiance is to him. Don't ever worry when others accuse you of this, that, or the other thing. All you need to ask yourself is, am I right with God? Do I understand? He made me. He bought me. He loves me. He's for me. What does it matter what the world thinks of me? It doesn't. And I don't know if you remember Greg's series, but let me tell you one of the most cruel positions in the world to be in. And there are many of you like this here tonight. You're a people pleaser. You're scared to death of what others think of you. The opinions of other people rule your life. When you realize God's for you, God's always for me, and God's opinion of me never changes. He likes me. He loves me. He cares about me. He thinks I'm pretty cool. He thinks the same about you. That's why he died for you. The Christian message is so empowering to a life. And I'll just be real honest with you. The people out there, when I say out there, I say in the world out there, all they have one thing on their mind, to tear you down, to belittle you, to make you feel small so they can feel big. They are so self-absorbed. God is not self-absorbed. He's absorbed with you, and he's for you. He's for you. He's on your side. And I can't tell you how much comfort that is to me. As I've gone through life, there are many people, men and women, there are many people who will tell you, oh, I love you. And they mean it. At the time, they really mean it. And all their emotions are there. And they're affectionate to you. Maybe they write you letters or a card, and they're just so affirming and so wonderful. And then, lo and behold, for whatever reason, maybe just because it's human nature, they don't feel that way anymore. They're not that way towards you anymore. Let me tell you a wonderful thing about being a Christian. God doesn't change. He doesn't ever change. Not for one second, not for one moment. He's always on your side. He's always for me. Third thing that I love about being a Christian is anything and everything I ever need, God will give me for free. Anything and everything I've ever needed, God has provided for me. What is the job? What started out? Being a mate. That's a big thing. I know it's on a lot of your minds. It's amazing to me. Sometimes I forget till I get around young men and women who aren't married how consuming it is thinking about the opposite sex. How we're just, you know, if I just knew. Let me tell you something better than you knowing. God knows. You just wait. Boom! He'll show you and he won't let you down. He'll give you her or him for free. And you know what else? If you wait, you trust me on this. He'll give you a guy or girl better than you'd ever dreamed you could have gotten yourself. And that's a fact. That's the truth. Someone back there, he knows the truth of that. Actually, Chad, Dan, Jay, and I, we all know the truth of that. God will give you someone better than you could have ever imagined. Now, how do I know that? Let me tell you how the Bible works in our life. I was 19 years old. I just committed my life to Christ, and I began to open my Bible for the first time. I began to discover the treasure that was mine that I never knew was mine. And I came to this verse that I just read to you in Romans 8. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not along with him freely give us everything else? And I thought to myself, I remember the day I read that and I was out of my park. And so I put my Bible down on the picnic table and I just began pacing. I began thinking about that. I thought, my goodness, you know, that's profound. When I was a wicked, wretched, miserable, good-for-nothing sinner, God loved me enough to give me the best he had to give. There is nothing better than Jesus. Okay, I want you to know that. You got top of the line right off before you even wanted God. And what he's saying here is, if he gave you Christ at the very beginning, everything else is nothing. Then I remember a few days later reading, in Proverbs says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. I thought, well, that's pretty cool. God wants to give me a mate. And then I remember, of course, from Sunday school as a little kid, the story of Adam and Eve. Adam's going along. He's got the big, beautiful world. Imagine this, guys. Imagine life without women. Now, sometime we all go, hey, we'd be pretty nice. Most of the time, though, we don't think that. But Adam, he doesn't know any better. He's just going along his merry way, taking care of Mr. Lion, Mr. Elephant, Mrs. Giraffe. No mosquitoes, no leeches, no bugs, never sick. The sun's tanning his naked, bronzed body as he walks through. Never have to worry about clothes or food, for it's plenteous everywhere he looks. Guess whose idea it was that he was lonely? Thank you. As an echo, it's kind of delay when my mind thinks it. God. That's right. It was God's idea. It wasn't Adam. He didn't go to God. God, I'll tell you what. I noticed Mr. and Mrs. Giraffe over there. Mr. and Mrs. Elephant, they were kind of having a good time out there in the woods the other day. And I got nobody. Nobody, God. I don't got nobody to lay down to every night. No one to talk to. Just me and the animals. It's a wonderful thing about being a Christian. You know what that is? God knows what you need before you need it, and he's working on it for you. He's working on it for you. He really is. He really is. I look back over my life, and I think, my goodness, you know, there was little Kathy, born in Wichita, Kansas, moved to Salina, then to Hutchinson, Kansas, and then for whatever reason her parents moved to Des Moines, Iowa, and then they decided to move back, but they let her stay with the boyfriend. Not a good idea, but anyway, in Des Moines, and then she goes to Iowa State University. She's running cross country. In the meantime, there's me, hitchhiking around the country. Never heard of Kathy Crislip. Never heard of her. Didn't want anything to do with God. God gets a hold of my life. I live 50, 60 miles north of this university. I'm not planning on going to the university. I meet these Christians. They have this Bible study and every Friday night, and they were kind of like Jesus people, and it was in this little town I lived in. And they happen to know of this conference coming up. It's about a year and a half later. So I decided to go with my friend to this conference. In the meantime, Kathy, back at Iowa State, never heard of me, doesn't know me from anybody or anything. Decides to quit cross country, decides to get her life focused with God. This is just 2 weeks before this conference. Wants to go to the conference, doesn't have any money, and she gets sick. Someone slips $50 under her door so she can go to the conference. She decides last minute, all right, that must be God. She was praying, God, if you want me to go, make it possible. Even though I'm sick, I'm going. I drive in the pouring rain. We meet Rockwell City, Iowa at this little camp. It was love. Boom. There. I proposed 2 weeks later. Sort of. I didn't want... See, you know when God shows you something, it's like you don't want to let her get away. You know? So, the rest is history. That was God. It wasn't me. That was God. That's what I love about being a Christian. I could stand up here all night, frankly, and tell you all the things God has given me. And all of them I don't deserve. Over and over and over and over again. That's what I love about being a Christian. Number four, I don't need to ever feel bad about myself or go around feeling condemned and rotten because I'm right with God and I'm fine with Him. I cannot tell you how many people today are sitting on someone's couch or laying on the couch, seeing their counselor or their therapist because they feel rotten about themselves and about their life. One of the primary contributing reasons for mental problems and insanity is guilt. I don't have any. Christ took it. He took it all. And He's the only judge that matters. And He says, not guilty. When Paul says, who will condemn me? God? No. Who will condemn you? Christ? No. If Christ and God aren't condemning you and they're on your side, let me tell you something. You got nothing to worry about. Who cares about your pathetic emotions sometimes? Forget them. You're right with God. You're not rotten. You're not bad. You come to Christ, you have right standing with God all the time, every single day, every moment. Now, if you're a Christian and you doubt that, I'd be glad to talk with you. You can email me or call me because we need to talk. You don't understand the Scripture. The Bible says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And the word justified means justified, done everything right. That's how God sees a Christian. That's an incredible, empowering thing. That is so empowering to your life because you see, there is a devil and you still fail and make mistakes and he's right there pointing his finger right in your face, right in your chest, right in your head, all the time. You're rotten. You're good for nothing. Look at you. Look at you. Look at me. That's what I like to say. Yeah, look at me. Look at me. Go ahead, devil. Look at me. You're going to hell, devil, and I'm not. You are rotten through and through, and I'm not. You're doomed, and I'm not. You see, the truth is so empowering in our lives that we just believe it. But that's what I love about being a Christian. I don't have to feel bad about myself. Number five, God really loves me all the time. Nothing I have ever done or will ever do will keep God from really loving and accepting me. Nothing anyone ever says about me will keep God from loving me or change the way He thinks about me. That's a pretty amazing thing. You know why? Because if you haven't ever had this happen to you before, you will. Sometime in your life, there's going to be people who say bad things about you to a good friend of yours. And they're going to say them often enough, and your friend is going to listen just a little too long, and it's going to divide you. They're going to start to believe the lie. You ever been lied about? You know, the Bible says it's as bad as killing someone. People will often say, they'll say, I never killed anybody. I'm not so bad. Oh, yes, you are. Because I know probably everyone in the room, we lied to somebody else about somebody. Character assassination is so painful. If you've never been on the receiving end of it, sometime it will happen to you. But just remember, it doesn't change what God thinks. It's a beautiful thing to know God knows the truth about me. God knows my heart. God knows my motives. And God loves me. He loves me. Now, I hate to tell you this, but you're gonna meet the person that God has for you, and they're going to be a wonderful person, but they're never going to be as wonderful as God. And there are going to be times that, frankly, they really don't love you. Well, let me just put it this way. They're not acting in a loving way towards you. The words just this came out of their mouth aren't exactly filled with flowery statements of affirmation and deep appreciation for who you are. But no matter what kind of clouds come in my life, my relational life, my emotional life, whatever you want to call it, there's always the sun shining there because God loves Mark. And you know what? I'm consumed by that. I want you to know that. Some people have often asked me, Mark, what keeps you going? What's your generator? What keeps you so passionate all these years, 25 years into following Christ? The love of God. The love of God. I think about it every day, many, many times a day, because I know I don't deserve it. And He loves me. He really loves me. He really cares about me. He likes me. He enjoys me. It's another one of the wonderful things I love about being a Christian. Number six, no matter what happens to me, what difficulties I go through, I win. I win. I win. So do you if you're Christian. You may not be believing it. I can't help that. All I can do is tell you the truth. No matter what situations you go through, no matter how many people in your life screw you, no matter how many employers keep you from advancing, let me tell you a little secret. There's only one employer that matters, and it's God. Everyone else underneath Him is peons. All the kings, all the big shots, all the CEOs, your manager, whoever they are, they're nothing. They can't keep you down. The Bible says, God exalts one and puts down another, that exaltation does not come from the east or the west, but God exalts a person. God exalts a person. You think it was Pharaoh's plan to let Joseph out of jail this little slave and have him rule Egypt? No, not on your life. You think Potiphar's wife was excited the man she falsely accused of rape was getting out of prison? Not on your life. She didn't have anything to do with it. God did. God got him out. And God didn't just get him out. God made him ruler of the nation. Now, you may not rule a nation, but God wants you to rule in your life. He wants you to rule in your thoughts. He wants you to rule and reign as a king in life, the Bible tells us in Romans. It's possible by faith. No one can keep you down. I want you to know that, young person here tonight. It's very important you understand this. No one. No one can keep the good things that God has for you coming into your life. The only thing that can keep them from coming is your unbelief. What I mean by that, by unbelief, is what I don't mean that, you know, if I don't believe all the time, nothing good's happening. What I'm saying is there are many wonderful things that are coming in your future. Right now, there may seem to be discouraging circumstances going on in your life. If you don't look through the circumstances, let's say over them, look at God. God's promise, God, good is coming. You're going to do me good. No one can keep me down. If you do that, if you live like that, you won't give up. If you don't, if you look at everything that's going on around you, and sometimes, just like the storm we had, you know, wouldn't you know it? These kind of things happen in my life, by the way. I buy my first house. I buy it. Guess whose house got flooded? Guess who doesn't have flood insurance? Hey, good guess. Guess who wasn't in town to help the family when it happened? That's not easy. I wanted to have my private rock jet fly and get me, but it was broken down. Well, fortunately and miraculously, frankly, my neighbors down the road just a little bit, their whole basement's flooded. Mine only flooded in the storage room that has concrete. It didn't get into the basement where there's carpet. I don't know why. Because there was water about this high up about against the back of the house. My son went to pick up my daughter, who was at J. Doolittle's at like 12 or 1 in the morning. It's only 2 miles, a mile and a half from where we live. He couldn't even get all the way home. They walked home in water up to their thighs, bending over with rain coming sideways in their face. Now, sometimes when things like that happen, I just don't want to admit this to you. It's real easy to get super negative really fast. Just burn it down. Wouldn't you know this happens to me? I always say my son said over the phone, you know, it's the darling curse, Dad. I said, you're right, son. Could I tell you stories about all the weird things that have happened to just us? God loves me. I just keep remembering. He loves me so much, he's putting me through it. What can happen in our life is then instead of seeing the promise, we see the circumstance, which is either inanimate things, objects that happen to us, or people caused circumstances. And we get our eyes on that, and we go, wow, this hurts. Wow, this hurts. Wow, this is unfair. Wow, I hate you. Wow, this is unjust. And we give up. We give up believing. We give up trusting God. We just kind of walk away. Then I need to let you know, you won't see the good things that God has for you. He does have good things for you. And no one can keep you down as long as you keep your eyes on your Creator. Seventh thing I love about being a Christian is that God has forgiven me of everything there is that I've ever done wrong. Nothing, you want to write this down or write it in your brain, nothing is hanging over my head. No guilt, no shame. Have you ever had something hanging over your head like you knew you did it? Something you've been involved in, something you've done, and it just kind of eats away at you. You're not sleeping very well at night. It's just there. It's just there. It's just there. And you know. It's gnawing away at you. It's a wonderful thing about being a Christian. We're not perfect. There are no perfect people, no perfect Christians, but we are forgiven perfectly and completely all the time. That does not mean that you may not need to go make something right with another person whom you've wronged. That does not mean that maybe you need to go straighten something out. That does not mean that maybe right now you're living very immorally. You need to stop. It's kind of like asking me, you know, Mark, pretend for a moment that I got to make sure this is full before I do this. Pretend for a moment this is a hammer and this is my hand under the hammer. Oh, I forget it. It's wonderful.
I love you, God. Thanks for loving me.
You get my point? You keep sleeping with her, you keep sleeping with him, you might as well just put your hand on the ground and hit it with a hammer. You can say you're forgiven all you want, and you are, for that very act, at the very moment that you're having sex outside of marriage. But you're still hitting your hand with a hammer. It's really dumb. Pretty soon, your hand isn't going to work very good. And you can have a lot of pain in your life. Okay? So there's things certainly we need to go, you know, I'm not going to go down that road anymore. I'm going to go this way. But no matter what, here's what I want you to know. There needs to be no guilt, no shame, no cloud that just hangs over your head about the past, about yesterday, about this morning, about 1 hour before you got to this meeting. There is none. Christ took it all, and you're forgiven. The eighth thing I love about being a Christian is I belong to a special, permanent family, God's family. He's given me the most wonderful brothers and sisters I could have ever asked for. And I just want to underscore that. What a privilege it is for me to belong to the Rock. What a privilege it's been for me to belong to Evergreen. My, like I said earlier, my own father, he deserted us. Now, he really deserted. He sent no money home of any kind whatsoever. Never wrote, never explained. There's still no explanation to this day. But God gave me a better family. God gave me a family of Christian brothers and sisters in there. I have them all over the world, and many of them I know personally. And I might fly to Honduras, and those brothers and sisters just embrace me. We kiss each other, because that's customary down there, in case you were wondering. And they come up, give you a hug and a kiss, and I give them a hug and a kiss. And sometimes there's tears. We're just so glad to see each other. And I have people like that in this room that I've been able to get to know in a much more personal way. And I die for them. I can tell you right now, Greg and I, we'd easily lay down our life for each other. There are other people in this room, but I won't go on because I don't want anybody to think I'm playing favorites. We're family. We're family in the Lord. And the Spirit, remember this, the Spirit is thicker than blood, the Bible tells us in the Message Bible. What we mean by that is blood is important, but the Spirit lasts forever. Men of my own family does not know Christ. I want them to know Christ. I don't hate them, but we're not going to spend forever together. Our life's going to end. And not only that, but many of them are living just the opposite of how God would want them to live. So we have memories together. We have some life experiences together. But from a practical standpoint, we have nothing in common. Except we breathe the same air. We came from the same gene pool. Why? Because I don't like them? No. Because they don't love my God. And I can't help that. I can't make that decision for me. You know what Jesus said? This is one of my favorite promises in the Bible. He was telling his disciples, they said, Lord, we've left everything and follow you. And Jesus said, there's none of you who have left father, mother, brothers, sisters, farms for me that will not receive in this time, in this life, father, mother, brothers, sisters, farms, 100-fold. 100-fold. God has given me spiritual mothers, spiritual fathers, spiritual aunts and uncles. People, you just have to experience it. Some of you in this room who experience it, just nod your head. Do you know what I'm saying? You get around these people. Listen, how many of you in this room, you don't have to raise your hand, just kind of smile or frown. Really, really get excited about family reunions. And that's what I thought. Now, why? Why? Because we all just are hateful people? Nope. Nope, it's not that at all. It's because with many of our family members, what do we have in common? If I had all the money I spent going to see Kathy's family, I'd be a rich man. All the money that we spent on Christmas presents, I'd have a sizable savings account. And all we'd do is go down and spend time with people who wouldn't talk to me. They wouldn't talk about my life. They never asked me how I was doing. Never asked me about my life, ever. Not once. In 22 years. Now recently, of course, when Kathy's mom decided to run off and have an affair and left her father, that kind of shook up his world. It should have shaken up hers. Didn't. She's still going on her merry way, but he's come to Christ. And now, we're just starting to have a little fellowship. 24 years later. But I get around my brothers and sisters. I have a friend. He's 10 years older than I am, and I call him frequently in Maryland. He's the guy and his wife that my wife went to stay with when her parents were trying to have her deprogrammed because she loved Christ. And they took her in. He's got kids my age. He's got about 8 or 9 kids. And every time we see each other, there's tears. I love him. You know why? Because we're comrades. He's been more than a father, more than a brother to me, and I love him dearly. I love him dearly. I don't have that bond with hardly anyone. Just a few individuals. See, when you come to Christ, you get this family, and you know what? Your family doesn't die on you in Christ because they're all immortal. And when they do briefly leave, as God beams them off the planet, He takes them to the place you're going soon as well. They just got on the ship sooner. That's all. There's no loss. There's no loss. Ninth thing I love about being a Christian. Hey, I better hurry. Is God listens to and answers my prayers. He cares about everything in my life and He goes into action for me. That's a phenomenal thing. That's a phenomenal thing. If I let's just pretend I was going through some really difficult thing in my neighborhood. If I wanted to get a hold of Jesse Ventura to do something about it, you think I could get an audience with him? Well, maybe if I was Playboy magazine or something. But not if I was one of the citizens he's supposed to help take care of. Why? Well, because there's... I'm serious about that. Because there's more important citizens than Mark. But you know what? With God, there isn't more important citizens. You're all His kids, and you all have equal access, equal love, equal concern, and you know what else? Daddy doesn't play favorites. He hears your prayers. He cares about your needs. He cares about your issues, and He goes into action for you. 10th thing, God lives inside of me, and He goes with me everywhere. He promises never to leave me or forsake me. As a result, I can live without being ruled by fear. I can face each day with courage and hope. I can't even tell you how much it means to me knowing God lives inside of me. That's what happens when you become a Christian. God moves in. He moves in and He don't leave. When you were little and someone said, "Where's God?" It pointed up to heaven. Sorry, God's there and He's in you if you know Him. And He's not going to leave. Never. Never turn His back on you. Never walk away. Never decide, "Geez, you know what, God, you just screw up." He didn't leave. That gives you so much courage. You know what God told Joshua? He said, "Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble before this great army anytime or these people that you lead, because I am with you always." 11, God has given me, now you're going to really like this one, God has given me insider information about life and I can succeed in every area of life. You know what insider information is? For those of you who don't know anything about the stock market, insider information is when someone who's in the industry, in a big company, calls you on the phone and says, "Hey, I was just in a board meeting, and tomorrow they're going public with this stock. We've got a new product. It's proven to cure cancer. Get the stock now. Buy as borrow. Get as much as you can. It's $22 a share. It will be $100 probably by tomorrow evening." That's insider information. You go to jail for that. It also makes you very rich. Guess what? I'm very rich. Because God gives me and you, if you want it, insider information about life, about marriage, about money, about psychology, about living your life in a positive and confident manner, about children, about anything you want to know that matters. God has insider information. And He'll make you successful. 12, God has given me real peace and joy. And I have the true source of happiness. Peace and joy daily in my life. 13, I'm going to live forever. And I'm going to a place where beauty is beyond description, where there's no pain, no sorrow, no crying, no sickness, no loss of loved ones. And I'm going to get a new body that won't grow old, flabby, weak, broken, gray, and wrinkly, of which all those things are happening to me. That's the beautiful thing about being a Christian. It just gets better and better. I could stand here all night and go over another thing and another thing and another thing. But I thought those 13 might help you understand why we're so excited to share Christ with so many people. We have it so good. If you're a Christian here tonight, you have it so good. If you're not, it's easy to become one. You need Christ. You need Christ. That's all you need. You don't have to do anything, prove anything, get baptized, or go to church. You simply have to acknowledge, you know what, Lord, I've sinned. I've done a lot of things wrong in my life, in thought, word, or deed. You died for them. I believe that. I believe you want to be my Savior. And Lord, I just reach out right now to begin my personal relationship with you. Come into my life. Forgive me. Give me eternal life. If you believe that in your heart, you just became a Christian. And all the things I talked about this evening, they're also yours. For those of you here tonight who already know Christ, I want you to go over these things. I want you to think about them. Because God meant for your life to be so wonderful. Even in spite of the difficulties, we have it so good. It's great to be back with you. I hope to see you next week at the conference. Please think about it. It's only $108. You go back to the table afterwards, they'll give you information. Otherwise, hang around for some refreshments. Let's pray.